time, if you can grab Acts chapter 2, 1 Corinthians 15 and Acts chapter 2.
First Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 1, it says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and therein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I deliver unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Let's pray. Lord, thank You for this morning. Thank You, God, for the gospel. God, thank You for the people in our life that came by and preached unto us the gospel. Lord, thank You that someone took time to share the gospel. God, thank You for what You've invested in the gospel. Lord, I pray that we would, Lord, as we examine Your Scriptures this morning, that we'd have a deeper conviction about it. And God, we would make decisions based on it. Lord, thank You for who You are and what You've done. And God, I thank You for Your holiness and righteousness and mercy and grace. And God, it all works together. And Lord, help us to see those things this morning. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I was about 10 years old. I actually was exactly 10 years old. And the very first time I heard the gospel, it just made sense to me. Grew up in, my parents were separated when I was young. And I remember going to different churches. And I remember going to a church and the husband and wife were co-pastors. And that we went there occasionally. But that was honestly fruitless. Wasn't until my mom, till we bought a house in Irondequoit, and we lived over there, and our neighbor, he was a character. If you saw him, he was a character. I think he was sober maybe for about 4 weeks of his life, and of those 4 weeks, he invited us to church. And I'm thankful for it. And we went over there, and the church was just starting out, younger guy, and Pastor Grace actually led that man to the church that we went to, led him to the Lord. And I was sitting in a Sunday school classroom, sitting at a table much like in Miss Calpe's classroom, one of those little tables with all the little people. And my Sunday school teacher knew that, I don't know how, I don't remember all the depth of the conversation or how we got on it, but years later I realized the people that were in his class were his kids and the pastor's kids. And then there was me. Now, everyone was a visitor to me, but to them, there weren't too many visitors that day. He took his lesson aside and just taught me the gospel. That day, at 10 years of age, which would be, and I'm 41, so 21 years ago today. Man, that's a long time ago. Is that possible? 31 years? 31 years ago today, in my bedroom that afternoon, I went home and knelt by the window. I knelt by the window because I thought God was going to shine a light in. I thought it was going to be a significantly heavenly experience. And I knelt down there, and again, at 10 years of age, as best as I could, I confessed my sin and asked Jesus Christ to save me from my sins. And my life has been forever changed. My biggest problem, there was no light, there was no dove descending, heard no audible voice of God, to which, as a 10-year-old boy, somewhat discouraged. But I knew exactly what I was doing. I knew what I got in on. Did I live a perfect life after that? No, there were some years of wandering and doubting or whatever. Never went far from the Lord, but I never forgot that day. And it would replay in my mind over and over again. Not too long after that summer, I got baptized over in Menden Ponds Park. And my mom and I both got baptized. We got saved very close to the same time. Why? Because someone declared unto me the gospel and changed the course and direction, not just for my life, but for eternity. I was headed in a direction that was just a wreck. Say you were 10. How bad could a 10-year-old be? Honestly, I was a good kid. My sister... Where is she? Is she in the nursery? Oh, God. So nervous. Because she can be so mean. Honestly, I was a good kid. Tried to help my mom where I could. Again, it was a single mom raising two kids. And perfect kids? No. But my problem wasn't that I was good or bad. It's because of my sin. And I needed the gospel. And I'm so thankful. So thankful. Some guy, to who years later would be someone important in my life, took some time and taught me the gospel. If we go over to Acts chapter 2, hey, if you're here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, never had a time when you confessed your sin and asked Jesus Christ to save you from your sin, can I encourage you today to do that? Say, why? Because you did it 31 years? No. Because it'll change not just your life. It'll change eternity for you. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 32, a lot of times we stay out of Acts chapter 2, Brother Parrott. But in Acts chapter 2 and verse 32, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Peter's preaching, and what he's preaching is the gospel. In verse 33, therefore being by the right hand of God exalted and having received the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. He says, all the things that you've heard about, all the things, Acts chapter 2 is his sermon. He preaches them Jesus Christ. In verse 37, it says this, when they heard this, they were pricked to their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? See, the gospel demands a response. When Peter preached Jesus to those that have never heard, or maybe were a little shady, maybe at this point they might have even seen him physically somehow, but it demanded a response. Peter immediately puts the onus or the decision making not on Peter, but he says, what are you going to do with him? And to which the people responded, what shall we do? Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off. That's me. I was afar off. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Look at verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day that were baptized added unto them about 3,000 souls. Oh, the power of the gospel. I told you personally how it changed my life. Say, did it make your life easy? No. Gave me direction, gave me hope, gave me joy, gave me a purpose. Hey, if you're sitting here today and you have no idea why you're on this earth, you need the gospel. You need Jesus Christ. You need the indwelling Holy Spirit. Why? Because the indwelling Holy Spirit leads us and guides us. Without that, we're just wanderers. We have no idea where we're going, and we have no idea what we're doing. But the gospel, oh, that changes everything. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I have 1, 2, 3, I think 5 points. 5 points this morning about the power of the gospel. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Ever get around, maybe you have a grandparent or maybe someone that's a little bit elderly in your life, and you spend some time, and they kind of tell the same old stories over and over again. Anybody have that? Maybe we all do it. I don't know. I'm sure we do. And we tell the good stories. We tell the stories about when crazy things happened and we had a near miss or whatever it is. And we retell those stories. And each time, maybe the story changes a little bit. We become a little more heroic. The villain gets a little more deceptive. The fish gets a little bit bigger. The bullet came a little bit closer. Whatever it was. You know the gospel has not changed. It's been retold over and over and over again. And you can't make the gospel any better. As we look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 5. For our gospel came not unto us, not unto you in word only, but also in the power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of man we were among you for your sake. Hey, I'm so glad the gospel showed up in my door. Why? Because I needed it. I needed it. There's been a lot of things that as a young person, you feel like you need. You talk to a teenager, hey, what do you need? Oh, I need, I'm starving. Well, you ate 2 hours ago. Dad, I'm so hungry. Well, I bet you could wait a little bit. There's things in our life that we would consider needs, and God says, that's not a need. That's a want. And maybe He would even allow us to have those wants. But there's some things, there was one thing in my life that was an absolute need. The gospel of Jesus Christ. I needed it. I had to have it. Without it, I would be lost. And the gospel came not only unto me in word, but in power. It showed up in my life. It crossed my path, to which at that point I had to make a decision. What am I going to do with it? What shall we do then? Repent. Hey, that day when some 31 years ago, when I'm sitting at that little kid's table and those little plastic chairs, and that giant man is sitting there trying to fit in those little chairs, trying to share with me the most precious story ever told, the power of God got involved. Yeah. A complete stranger is telling me a story, and I believed him. Why? Because he was a good man? No, because the power of God. Power of God. Hey, when you knock on someone's door and you start sharing the gospel. Last night, Lee and I went out for fish fries to Sam's Diner. Fantastic, right? There we are. We're about to cash out. And the girl, all of a sudden, I'm giving her a card, and she points at my shirt. I look down, and I have a little, like a Christian message. I give her a gospel tract. She goes, I saw that. I was wondering, well, where do you go to church? I said, well, here. And I just happened to have a gospel tract. I said, here, this is our church. And she's like, oh, that looks like a nice place. I said, the more important, I flip it over, is the gospel. Hey, you know what we all need? We need the gospel. What's happening? When someone presents the gospel to you, you know what's happening? It's not just in word. The power of God is working in your hearts. What did it say in Acts chapter 2? When they were convicted. Who did that? Peter? Peter had no idea what he was doing. You read the end of Luke that brings us right into Acts. Peter's a nutcase. He has no idea where he's going. He has no idea what he's doing. He's fearful. He's hiding. It's this and that. And all of a sudden there's an opportunity. He stands up. He doesn't even know what he's saying. It was not his words. It was the power of God. The exaltation of God. The power of God showed up at your door. You know what? Today might be that. Not because of the preacher. Paul says it. Paul, one of the greatest preachers that we've ever read about, he says, it wasn't my enticing words. It was the power of God that brought the gospel. Delivering of the gospel took the power of God. Say, how so? It began with the birth of Christ as a miracle. He lives a sinless life, a miracle. Perfect, sinless life. Could you imagine going through this world having never sinned? Say, how is that possible? Miracle. God and His divinity could do it. Strongest man that ever lived, Jesus Christ. Say, they captured Him and nailed Him to a cross. He's not strong. Do you know what He was capable of? For Him to turn His side and not do what He wanted? Hey, there's been times when I'm wrestling with the boys and they catch me just right. And the dad strength filter goes away for a minute. All of a sudden I have a kid pinned. What happened? I got pushed a little bit. Just had to exercise some strength for a minute. Hey, they're whipping him, beating him, mocking him, open hand face slapping him, spitting upon him. Saying every derogatory name in the book. And yet he did nothing. Not because he couldn't, but because he was the strongest man that ever lived. For the gospel to show up took an act of God. The resurrection of Christ, things that die don't come back to life. The power of God. Destination through exaltation. It showed up at your door through His power. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. And there's so many verses we could look at. Verse 15. Romans 1:15. So, as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Hey, can you say that? I'm ready. Because Paul says this, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. My favorite baseball team is playing 500 baseball. You know what that means? I'm not wearing a lot of gear. Why? It's kind of, the Twins are up by 10 games on my favorite team. Kind of ashamed. Know what we'll never have to be ashamed of? Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why not? Because it has the power of God unto salvation. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Say, preacher, you don't know me. You don't know what I've done. You don't know how decrepit and how wicked I am. You don't know what I've said against God Himself. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Do you understand that the power of God far exceeds our sin and our strength? John Wesley said, untold millions are still untold. What does that mean? I can't be ashamed of it. Hey, where did you get that shirt? Yeah, I saw that. Do you go to church somewhere? Are you involved? No, I just got it at Goodwill because I don't want to talk about it. No. Hey, what's different about you? What's different about your kids? Now, where do your kids go to school? Man, if you talk to anybody at like Wegmans, and you got your kids and there's their kids, and not really Wegmans because they go pretty quick. So maybe if you're at Tops, that those lines sometimes take a while. You're in line, or Walmart, right? Yeah, Walmart. Sunday or Saturday afternoon, 11 o'clock. 10 to 2 is the busiest time for shopping, and there's three tellers open in Walmart. You're back in the electronics department with ready to cash out, right? So there you are, and the lady behind you is talking, oh, how old are your kids? And they look about my kid's age, and are they over at the Hill School? No. Where do they go to school? I'm sorry, where? No, we're part of Walker Bible Baptist Church. We go to a Christian school. Oh, that's good. We go to the other, and then you just drop it. Where's the gospel? Are you ashamed of those things? When was the last time you stood up for the gospel? Man, I am so glad Dan Crespo, 31 years ago, didn't say, "Hey, I got this lesson on Gideon. I'm sorry, buddy. Come back next week and I'll explain to you the gospel." No. No. He took it all and put it all aside and he taught me the gospel. Why? Because it changed his life. And he wasn't ashamed of it. Years later, I would grow up and become very good friends with his son. And I would go over to his house, and we would make plans. And sometimes his dad would be 2 hours, 3 hours late to picking me up. I was young. I was a little boy. Because he was witnessing to a guy at the diner for the last 2 hours. That's who he was. He wasn't ashamed of it. Are you ashamed of it? Are you ashamed of the gospel? Psalm 31:1, I'll read it to you. It says this, "O Lord, do I put my trust? Let me never be ashamed." Let me never be ashamed. I've done some foolish things in my life, to which I wish. There's one decision I should never be ashamed of. The day I trusted Jesus Christ. A missionary to Africa told the story of an elderly woman who was reached with the gospel. Though she was blind and could neither read nor write, she wanted to share her newfound faith with others. She went to the missionary and asked for a copy of the Bible in French. When she got it, she asked the missionary to underline John 3:16 in red and mark the page so she could find it easily. The missionary wanted to see what she would do, so one day he followed her. In the afternoon, just before school let out, she made her way to the front door. As the boys came out, when the school was dismissed, she would stop one and ask if they knew how to read French. When he would say yes, she would ask him to read the verse that was marked in red. Then she would ask, "Do you know what this means?" and tell them about Christ. Here's a woman. What's your excuse? It's a blind woman. Couldn't read or write, and she's sharing the gospel. They dismissed her as crazy. The missionary said that 24 of the schoolboys that the lady led to the Lord became pastors. Let me never be ashamed of the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. First Corinthians 1:18 says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is" what? "The power of God." How do we get the gospel to people? By preaching. By preaching. If an extended period of time comes, today is anniversary Sunday. 1 year ago today, this church voted unanimously to have me as pastor, to which has been a tremendous privilege. I would say I have grown more in this year than maybe all my years built up before. And if you hear for a period of time the preaching of the gospel not from this pulpit, you need somebody else. Because the most important thing, the most important message is the gospel. Not what Doctor Who says or this person says or what does the Bible say? And in 1 Corinthians 1:18, "For the preaching of the cross It's to them that perish foolishness. Now, when you're not saved, it just doesn't make sense. Why would I go to a place where a guy yells at me for 45 minutes and tells me how wicked and how great God is? Because that's what God has chosen to use. He uses preaching. And unto us it is the power of God. So we preach the Word of God, the power of God. There's a benefit of preaching. It encourages our faith. It fills us up. Romans chapter 16. Look at this verse real quick. Romans 16:25. Romans 16:25 says, "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began." You see the connection of all those things? Here, we see power, we see gospel, and we see preaching. Power of God is in preaching. That's where the power of God is. Hey, no doubt we get ministered to by music. But God has chosen preaching. I love music. I love good music. I'm excited. Our teen girls are singing tonight. I love when they sing. I love when Maddie gets her guitar out and she plays. I love when the choirs get up. I love all that. I love congregational singing. Sang Glory to God today. Love all those songs. But they are not... they don't take the place of preaching. Preaching fills our faith. Preaching helps us grow. How many messages have we heard that where God was doing a work in our heart and all of a sudden something comes out from the pulpit and that was the exact question I had? How is it, God, you're doing that? Because that's what He does. It equips us. It encourages us. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Preaching. Very important. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." For what purpose? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. We need pastors and teachers teaching the Word of God, preaching the gospel. Because it equips us. It perfects us as saints. I need preaching. And that is what God has chosen to send His message forth. Preaching does one of two things. It brings either us to Christ or Christ to us. Hey, if you're without Christ, the preaching of the Word of God will bring you to a place where you can meet somebody. That'll change your eternity. And sometimes I feel like, and God sits right next to me during messages and just touches my heart. That's you. Preaching gives us help, gives us healing, convicts us of what is wrong, and it encourages us to what is right. And as we study the gospel, we see that preaching the gospel is what changes people. Not a free meal. As good as the meals that the Sutliffs make, some people think it's easy to sometimes get off on what our real problem is. I'm hungry, therefore I need food. I'm poor, therefore I need money. No, you're a sinner in need of a Savior. That's our greatest need. And if we're delivering food without the gospel or resources without the gospel, are we really helping anybody? No. Hey, I'm all about sending care packages, and I think that's good, but that's not their biggest problem. Medical supplies, hey, that's great, but where's the gospel? Hey, you might be able to help them physically, but what about eternity? This morning we were studying in our Sunday school class, simple Sunday school class, Genesis 1 through 6. Not a lot in there. Yeah, right. First question was, what are the sons of God, right? That's where we started our Sunday school class this morning. We are dealing with 6,000 years of human history, plus or minus. That's it. Tell me about eternity. Always has been, always will be. Life is short. And if you go through this entire life hungry or poor and yet have eternal life, you did well. Because the gospel is what changed eternity. God sent the gospel to you to fix eternity. He uses preaching to do it. To which then, maybe our last point, 1 Corinthians chapter 4. So I'm trying to take notes. What are your points? All right, here we go. Destination through exaltation. So you make these up? Yes, I did. Proclamation to salvation. That is, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Each point has a shun word except for point three. Awakening through preaching. But they both have ing at the end. All right? Does that work? Number four. Point number four. Transformation through sanctification. The gospel has changed me. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18. Now some are puffed up as though I would not come to you. But I will come to you shortly if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power, he says. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. The change that God makes in our life through sanctification is unlike anything else. I've been a Christian long enough where you see problems that people have gone through. Hey, there's no better remedy for the attacks or the sins of the flesh than someone changing from the inside out. There's a lot of helpful programs, I understand that, AA, whatever. And I'm not saying they don't have a spot, but there's nothing better than changing someone's life than changing their hearts. Changing from the inside out, a transformation. And what is that? It's simply proof of the power of God. Do you understand that each of you are proof that the power of God, the power of the gospel is real? Why? Hey, tell me about what you were like before you met Christ. Tell me about it. Tell me how your marriage was. Tell me how your addictions were. Tell me about all those things. Tell me where God found you. And tell me where you're at today. He's able to transform our life. Do you understand that each and every day that you live, you are testimony of the power of the gospel. A transformation through sanctification. God is able to do the impossible. God is able to do things in your life that you have failed at so many times over and over again. Man, I just want to get clean. I just want to get right. I just want to do good. I just want to help. I just want to do this. And then the next day comes, or the next hour comes, and you just fall again. And then the Lord starts changing from the inside. Only God can change lives like that. Do you understand? We can't change anybody, but God, listen to this. We can't change anybody, but God can change everyone. Yes. Say, I'm too far gone. I'm too much. No, you're not. But we got to allow God to change us. Lastly, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 1. That fourth point was transformation through sanctification. The gospel is able to change us from the inside out. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom. Look, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. A determination through demonstration. He says, I determined not to know anything among you. And what did he want? He wanted to demonstrate the power of God. It's not our words, but it's the power of God. Proof that all of these previous statements are true is what we do. is what we are. And your life is a demonstration of that. Tonight we're going to be talking about living a godly example. What does that mean? What does that talk about? We're going to kind of take this thought and expound upon it tonight. But being an example to those of the change that God has made in our life. We have to be conscious of those things. Hey, when we stand up and proclaim that Jesus Christ is our Lord, there ought to be a lifestyle that is followed by that. That God has worked in our life. Say, well, then I can't write. You can't. You shouldn't. There should be a change. There should be a change. And, you know, sometimes we're hard on ourselves. I got to change right away. I got to do a... And God's like, hey, baby steps here. We got time. I'm so glad He didn't show me. If He would have showed me 31 years ago what He wanted me to be today, I'd say, there's no way I'm going from there to there. If you look back in your life and see how God has encouraged you and helped you and taught you and brought right people by and used right messages and all of those things and His Word to encourage you throughout the years... Yeah, baby steps. Well, I need to be all of this. All of it needs to be changed right away. No, hold on. Take your time. Let God work. Let God change you. And may your life be a demonstration of your determination to serve Him. I've decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. May your life show that. Does that mean we're going to be perfect? No. But we certainly are going to be doing better. And without Christ, the power of the gospel. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, there's not a time, a place that you can go back to where you can say, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I know if I were to die today, God forbid, if I went out here, a logging truck goes by, hits me, no second chance, no time to make a decision, none of that. If I were to pass into eternity today, I know where I'd go. If you can't answer that, if you don't know for sure, 100% for sure, would you allow someone to show you like someone did 31 years ago to me? I would love to show you what the gospel says. I would love to introduce you to Christ. I can't save anybody, but I can introduce you to someone who can. If you're here today and you don't have that assurance, would you allow someone from the Scriptures to show you what it means to be saved? Christian, if you're here this morning and you evaluate your life and you've set limits on God of, God, you don't get access to this point. This part's not going to be transformed. This part, I'm ashamed. I don't want to. Hey, we have some business to do with God then. Let's all stand. God went through great efforts to bring us and keep the gospel for us, to which demands our response. If you've never trusted Christ, would you allow someone to show you from the Scriptures what it means to be saved? If you have, and maybe you've been a little ashamed of it. If you have, and maybe you haven't grown like how you know you should. The Lord has worked in your life. Maybe you need to come into this altar here and just pray to God and say, God, can you help me? I am determined to be a demonstration of the power of God in my life. I want you to transform me. Lord, show me what you want to change in my life. Please help me. Heavenly Father, I ask you to bless this time of invitation. Now, whatever it is that you've touched hearts about, Lord, wherever anybody is at, God, I pray that you'd... Lord, I know you're working in hearts, because that's what you said you'd do. Lord, I pray that we would be humble enough to admit it. Lord, help us now. In Jesus' name, amen. As the music plays, whatever point or whatever thought maybe, Lord, touch your heart about this morning, would you come and pray?